Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
I feel like people haven't seen me at my best because we have a loaded roster. So sometimes you got to do what needs to be done as a team.
Hour number three of Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones out rest of the week. Billy Lanny has slid over. Justin Turpin now in the house for some pure hoops. Turp, how are you?
What's up, boys? How are you?
That was, of course, the voice of one Jaylen Brown. He was at the Garden last night for the Caitlin Clark game.
So was George Niang. You see that?
Yes.
The beef is behind them.
Thank God. So we can all rest easy. Those guys don't hate each other. So we can embrace George Niang. Will George Niang even be on the team when the season starts?
I think he will be.
Okay.
I think he will be. At this point, it seems like this is the roster that they're going to enter the season with. I think Brad Stevens made that rather clear the other day. They're still less than a half $1 million over the second apron, and that's a move they can get under by just waiving J.D. Davison. It's that simple for them. So I think this is kind of what they're going to enter the season with. I think they were actively shopping Niang and Simons and possibly even Hauser, but I'm not sure that was the case the way Brad Stevens talks about Hauser, but feels like this is what they're going to enter the season with, and they're comfortable as they will be. I think Brad Stevens pretty much admitted the front court is going to be terrible, and they're just going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, we're kind of punting on the front court. They have a good backcourt.
Yeah, the backcourt's great. The front court, not so much. When you're going in with Luka Garza, who has been like a per 36, I don't know if you're a per 36 analytical measure here, but
hey,
he's been a darling in that department.
I don't know, Xavier minutes, points, Tillman, assists, rebounds.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Give me the big five.
Right.
Xavier Tillman, he's going to play a little bit of the five, but he's more of a four. He's a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Obviously, his knees have been an issue as well. And then you'll have Namish Keita, who has had big games for the Celtics. Like, he's won them games, specifically 2 years ago.
He had a stretch there where I was trying to convince Jones that he was good.
We were riding the train.
Yeah, we were.
We were all over it.
He kind of got a little quiet.
They're going to enter with those guys and see what happens. I think Charles Bassey now on the Summer League roster does present in decent kind of option here as well, because you can't enter the year with just three bigs and two and a half, really, because Tillman's not necessarily a five, so you're going to need to add someone there.
How
and,
small can you go? This
yeah,
is going to be like
small?
The there was an old Villanova lineup, not the Jalen Brunson team, but the prior to that, it was Kyle Lowry and like Mike Nardi, Randy Foy, Allen. They went four guards. Like, they always went four guards. I feel like that might be the Celtics.
They're going to play small this year, and they're going to play fast. And it's going to be interesting because offensively, they could, especially if they keep Simons, they could put up 125 points a game, but the other team could put up 145.
Right.
Like, you're looking at a bottom five at the very least defense this year.
Ugh.
You don't have any front, you don't have any rim protection.
No.
You don't have any bigs to slow those guys down. And if you look around the league, just how important the center position is, like, Celtics are in a bad situation in that department.
Ugh. Are they still a low seed? Low seed playoff team?
I would say so. I mean, it's a team with Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser. Like, there's still talent on this team. Now, what I would wonder is if Jaylen Brown rolls his ankle, an injury that last year or the year before, any year in his career, would have cost him three games, is now 2 months, just kind of shutting him down. Because you don't want to overextend these guys. I think that's probably the number one thing. The worst thing you can possibly do is overextend a guy like Jaylen or Derek and have them get hurt. And then you're not fully healthy entering the 2026-27 season, which is what this seems like it's all about.
So as like the casual fan, like that's what I'm asking in the sense of like, will this team be worth watching throughout the year, or as opposed to like, all right, I'll check in the beginning of the summer for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun team to watch. I
mean,
we've seen teams like this before, like the Isaiah Thomas Celtics. Like
this
team could kind of be like that, where there's not a lot of expectations.
A chippy team full of hot.
Right, and sometimes that makes it more fun when
there is lot of expectations on Jaylen Brown, and he's kind of put it on himself. So we just played that cut coming back. He was on with Kyrie Irving, which is another sort of aside, which I know he's friends with Kyrie, but as a Celtics fan, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And it's like, those two specifically butt heads when they were here. When Kyrie was here, I mean, those two guys didn't get along. Then Kyrie leaves. Everybody here in Boston can't stand the guy. And now all of a sudden, like, he and Jaylen Brown are like best buds. And Brown got into some issues with some of his like support of Kyrie, where it wasn't just about like Kyrie the person or the player. It was some of the posts that Kyrie had and some of like who he was associating with. And Jaylen Brown got kind of caught into that mess. So like, Jaylen Brown to me is a, he makes it hard to root for him with some of that stuff and like hanging out with Kyrie Irving. And you're like, whatever, like you can hang out with whoever you want to, but I also can feel any way I want to. On the court, like he plays hard. He's an easy player to kind of root for your team. But some of the other stuff is just kind of like an eye roll.
Right. It helps too because he wants to be the man.
He does. You so, know, like, so great. Watching like, let's it, see watching, what this yeah, looks like this
watching
year.
That is the best part. Knowing that that guy wants to be higher than he already is. I mean, you were finals MVP. You're making a ton of money.
Yeah.
And yet he still thinks there's more to do. And that's what's exciting to
and
watch.
And I think that's part of the thing that's bothering him. Is
dude, there's a lot bothering him. We'll get to this article coming up. Yeah.
Finally, he is the guy. Like, he's always, there's always been 1A, 1B. It's always been him versus Tatum. It's always been that way. Finally, he is the guy. And here we are talking about, like, oh, they could be a low playoff seed. Like, all of a sudden, there's no expectations. And the team, granted, it's because of the situation they were in, and I'm sure he understands this. The team didn't really do a whole lot to surround talent around him, right? The finally, Jaylen's the guy. He's got a chance to prove what he is. And he's a very prideful individual. So, like, he's going to take this opportunity and be excited to roll with it. But the team selling off pieces, you're bringing in low-end free agents that have potential upside that could complement you in the future. And it seems like every time you say a retool, like what exactly is a retool? It's a mini rebuild, is it not?
Yeah, of course.
Like there's no
especially with such a small
really...
roster.
Right.
It's not like other sports where there's a million players.
You lose one starter due to injury and then you trade two starters. Like you're down three starters from last year. Like you're not going to be the same.
I mean, just think about the guys they lost this offseason. Kristaps Porzingis, Drew Holiday, Luke Kornet, and eventually Al Horford. That's a playoff roster.
Right.
Just the guys they lost in general. So it's tough to make up that ground, especially when you're kind of handicapped in what you can do because of the financial situations and the basketball penalties. And I think for the most part, fans understand that the moves they were making wasn't because of financials.
Stevens straight up said it.
Part of it, yes. I mean, part of it is like, I mean, you can't really justify spending a half a billion on a roster that doesn't have your best player.
Right.
And not to mention, they were going to lose in the second round anyway.
They were done.
Tatum got hurt. You never know what happened. Like, they were moments away from being down 3-1. They were going to lose that series no matter what, which makes it even harder. So that's just life in the NBA now. Like, it's going to happen. Like, the money's going to play a factor. All the basketball penalties, all that's going to factor in. And, you know, it's just a kind of firsthand, the Celtics are the first team to experience it. And that's kind of tough to swallow.
So Jaylen Brown's been doing a lot of different things in the community, really his entire time here in Boston, and this summer that's no exception. He also did an interview with Noah Dalzell. Is that how you say it?
Noah Dalzell, yeah.
Dalzell, yeah. So Celtics blog, it's a great breakdown, a lot of really, really good quotes in here from Jaylen Brown, including, you know, how he feels about the city, but also how he feels about the team. And he was asked about like on-court sacrifices that he's made. This quote jumped out to me. I want to get your take on this, Terp and Billy. Quote, I disagree with a lot of things. I've had to change roles, styles. I've had to do things that other players of my talent just haven't had to do, and I've been okay with them because I've always been a team guy. I feel like sometimes that gets taken for granted. Okay. What do you think of that part? There's more, but like that's sort of what he disagrees with a lot of things. He changes roles, and other players as good as he is wouldn't have been asked to do that.
Honestly, I think he just said the quiet part out loud. I mean, every NBA player does say that. And people on the team the last 2 years too, like Derek White at times has mentioned to Kristaps Porzingis, they all want to take more shots, right? Every basketball player wants to shoot the ball and score more points. And I think Jaylen is no different, and he wants to do that as well. I think also with him, like when they did kind of change, when they brought in the new iteration of the Celtics and Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday, if you remember thinking back to the 2023-24 season, it took him a little bit of time to adjust. Like he was one of the ones that was really the most affected by it because he went from being like a clear number two to like some nights it was Derek White, other nights it was Kristaps Porzingis, and Jaylen was still terrific in that season. I think his best season was actually the 2023-24 season. Like that was his best regular season and postseason.
Yeah, that was when he got all NBA, right?
He was phenomenal that entire year. So I think he said the quiet part out loud because I think a lot of players
also
feel this way.
So I understand like he is viewed as the second best player on the team. So despite being finals MVP and an NBA champion, like he's just viewed by everybody, with the exception of probably him, as the second best player. He did take almost 18 shots a game, which is easily in the top 20 in the NBA. So there's 30 NBA teams. You take the 17th most shots. Tatum's above you on that list. But I'm just curious, like, what is he talking about, like, sacrifices? Like, they won a title 2 years ago. So whatever they asked you to do, like, I guess they asked, you know, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett to sacrifice in 08. They did. They won a title. Like, is he looking at this as it comes across? And the problem is this is just in print.
Right.
So, like, you can't really, like, read into, like, how he's saying it.
Tone,
you can't
yeah,
do that.
Important.
So is he like, hey, I bought into this and, like, it's worked for my career and for the team? Or is he like, hey, like, give me credit for sacrificing all of this. Not a lot of people would do that. Like, is he mad about being asked about to
there
do
was
this?
Another quote in there towards the end that he was saying how it was all worth it because they ended up bringing back Banner team, okay. And obviously he played a key role in that. I wonder if it's just the style of play as well. Like, Jason and Jalen kind of combat each other in the way they play. Like, Jason's a really, he likes to slow it down. It's a lot more like, we're going to work, he's going to just use his skill, where Jalen's one of the best players in the league in transition. And there's kind of, and we talked about it when Tatum went down. It's like, how different are the Celtics going to play? Like, we're going to see it firsthand this year. They're going to play a lot more, they'll play a lot quicker this year with Jalen at the helm. Like, that's just how he wants to play. So maybe it's because of the style of play. Maybe mm-hmm. it's just the limelight of, like, hey, I've always been in Jason's shadow. Like, that's just been the reality for him since he came in the league.
So how much change do you think there was from Ime to Mazzulla that impacted Brown? And then there was now change when Porzingis and all those guys come in. So, like, is he saying this is technically the third time he's had to make an adjustment because Tatum's out?
Yeah, I think the Ime system, in a way, might have fit Jalen a little bit better because Jalen's just so big on defense.
Right.
And so is Mazzulla, especially after his first year. And that was the one big thing after Mazzulla's first year. He really honed in on the defensive side of the ball. Like, they wanted to be a top defensive team. Like, that's how they wanted to play. And they've done that to their credit. Like, the scheme has worked. They've been a great defensive team. But Ime obviously has one of the best defensive schemes in the league, one of the mm-hmm. best coaches. I know that's Keith's guy.
He's the best coach.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, great job defensively, like what he does with his team. So, yeah, I mean, there are different kind of changes he's had to make, and, you know, maybe that wears on a player. I also, like, again, it's the tone in this as well. Like, yeah. I don't think it's necessarily complaining per se. It's like, you know, it's been well chronicled what he's been through in Boston, going back from the night he was drafted and the draft night booze, mm-hmm. and that's something he doesn't forget about.
No.
And then for years...
Which, again, is wrong. Like, I get his point, and I also get his point of holding a grudge. Like, I'm very pro holding a grudge. I think it's the most healthy thing you can do. But, no, he... is still pissed about being booed on draft night, but what he doesn't understand, and I'm sure people have told him this a million times, the boos weren't for him.
Right.
Which he doesn't get, and if he needs that for motivation, I guess great, and so be it. But it was literally because that's when Wick came out with the fireworks quote. They're gonna trade for Jimmy Butler or Paul George or whoever else on that list. They didn't even really know who Jaylen Brown was. He played 1 year at Cal. I don't think a lot of people were watching a lot of Cal basketball.
No, not Pac-12.
So, no, and me and Jones were there. We were doing a draft show at the Garden, sick brag, and everybody booed it, but they were booing that. And then he became a great player, and fans love him. People love – he won't accept it, and some people are just this way. But I think the fan base, for the most part, because you can't get any fan base to 100% agree on anything – but I would say the vast majority of fans love Brown. Wouldn't you say so?
I would agree with that. I think maybe he's falling into a majority on Twitter that, you know, it's not a nice place there if you haven't learned.
Yeah,
it's a great place there. Maybe he's reading too much into
but
that.
But, like, it's easy to avoid. But like, you don't have to be on Twitter. If there's hate on Twitter, avoid it. And then how much hate is there then in your real life? That's not real life. This is fake life.
Right, and I think that's part of this offseason that's kind of been therapeutic to him, is having all these, being so active in the community and seeing all these people standing out in the rain or whatever it may be to support him, and these guys, everyone coming up and just telling him how much he means to them in the city. I think that kind of changes his perception. And I think just after the championship in 2024, I think there was a different kind of change in his demeanor. Like, he seemed more confident. It was a weight off their shoulders on the court and just off the court. I feel like he felt more accepted in a way. And, you know, I don't know if he's spoken about this on the record and he hasn't said anything to me about it, but, like, that's just kind of the feeling that I got, that, like, he felt more comfortable after the championship, felt more appreciated.
So they do think it's the people online that are saying these things, the shut up and play basketball people.
Right.
It's such a small number of people, but obviously they use that as a motivation.
Right. I mean, I think he went in there and said, like, people don't like the community stuff that he does.
I mean, who's going to say that?
Like, that's a very small minority.
There's an idiot to say everything, though, right? Like, and if that's what you want to point to, I guess so be it. And maybe everybody is a little bit guilty of that. You know, if 100 people tell you did a great job, and then one person says you suck, you're more likely to remember the one guy that says you suck than you are the 100 that think you're great. And there are other players. Like, look at Kevin Durant. every couple of months, Kevin Durant gets in like a back and forth on Twitter. Like, he can't hit it. Like, dude, you've made $500 million. You're one of the greatest players of all time. But if somebody says, like, you're not clutch, like, you like lose your mind.
Right.
He's shameless now. He just does it on his regular account. Yeah. He used to make, like,
he had burners.
No,
he
now
did.
He's
he
just,
had burners. Now he's like,
he's been exposed so many times. Like, what do you have to lose? Just go out with the regular account.
But it is weird. I mean, you know, I guess in that case, like, some guys are just never going to be completely happy, because there are some quotes in there talking about he can't be himself in Boston. And it goes back to, like, all right, like, is he going to be here for the long haul? But the answer is, yeah, he already has. Like, the guy's about to enter his 10th year with the Celtics, is under the Supermax deal. Now, not a lot of players start and finish their career in one place, regardless.
Especially now. It's going to be so rare in today's NBA. These max contracts, I mean, teams aren't going to be able to live with two or three guys on a max contract. I mean, you can, but you have to be really good at building the roster lower on. So I think we're going to see that more and more. But I will say, too, it feels like every time Jalen gets the chance to express his love for the city, he does it.
Yeah.
Like, he's very clear that he's happy in Boston. He loves it here. Now, there's some things that he doesn't like, and I think that'd be anywhere. But I feel like, for the most part, he seems happy in the situation. I mean, doesn't love all aspects, and it's not going to be perfect. But for the most part,
Celtic City, I thought, was pretty interesting. Like, the documentary, when, you know, him and, like, Bill Russell, and just sort of like him talking about that pretty openly. I thought that whole thing was pretty good. But more like on the court, he had a great quote too at the end of this article, where he's just like, "I feel like I'm very talented. I'm one of the most talented people in this league on this planet. I'm looking forward to showing the world more," which. Great, because next season is going to be all about him. Like, you're the guy. Like, you are clearly the guy.
Right, you asked for it. You're going to get it.
Oh, my God. I mean, how many shots per game is he going to be allowed to take next year? Like, 25?
I mean, we went through the numbers a couple weeks ago. We went through the numbers. I mean, with Jason Tatum out, you're missing about a quarter of your shots per game.
Yeah.
A quarter of your points, a quarter of your assists, a quarter of your rebounds. There's so much ground.
And that's just Tatum.
And that's just Tatum. Then you got Kristaps Porzingis, and Drew Holiday didn't shoot as much, but Drew Holiday also factors into that. Al Horford, just think about all the guys you lost. Now, again, it's going to be interesting to see how much they actually push him and how much they let him go, because you don't want to overextend him. I think the Celtics, when you keep saying retool, that's a mini rebuild, right?
It is.
You're gearing
up
for next year. Like, we're going to see what happens. We're going to play free this year, see what happens. We've seen these teams go on a run before, but it's gearing up for next year. And are you going to overextend Jalen and potentially running the risk of him getting hurt or whatever? I don't know.
No, like, probably not. So last year, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander led the league in shot attempts per game at 21.8.
Is Tatum fifth?
Fourth. 20.4. So four guys averaged 20 or more shots. Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham, and SGA. Brown's going to smash that.
That's crazy that SGA is that high, considering how many free throws he takes.
Yeah, too. How many real, like, actual shot shots
did he take
shots
per game is he taking for?
Because, like, then he also took 9 free throws a game. Yeah.
That's incredible that he's that high. But, yeah, there's going to be tons of opportunity on this offense.
And
as much as people are talking about Jaylen Brown as the true one, I'm also excited to see what can Derek White do as a two.
Sure,
what can Peyton Pritchard do as a three? Yep. Like, see what Anthony Simons got. Like, it's going to be fun in that sense to see what they have. Because at this point, it's like, there are no expectations. That's just the reality. Like, Brad Stevens can come out as much as he wants and say, oh, the North Star is contending for a championship. Well, the North Star is miles and miles and miles away at this point. Like, you can't seriously enter the year with the front court that you have and be like, hey, no, don't worry, we're trying to contend. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't with the front court that you have. That's just not reality. So it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be a lot of experimenting and finding out what you have on this roster for the future. And I think that's something that fans can be excited about.
And it's corny and it's a cliche, but the most important thing is getting through the season healthy.
Right.
Is what it is.
So, you're going into next year with Tatum, and you're like, all right.
And hopefully some momentum.
All the money that's coming off the books, too. I mean, Simons and Niang, their contracts, if they finish the season here, their contracts will be expiring. You're going to be under the first apron by, I think, $18 million next year. So you'll have all these assets that you didn't have access to. You'll be well under the second apron.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll have plenty of opportunity to mix and match then. So it's unfortunate. And I think the conversation would be a little bit different if Tatum was still healthy. I think the trades that were made in terms of Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday were completely inevitable. Like, that was going to happen. I think maybe had they won the championship, they would have kept it and they would have really dipped back into the second apron, because you had just won back-to-back titles had you done
that
it. And a new owner's going to come in and be like, nah, you know what, we're going to dump these two guys.
Even if you didn't win it, but Tatum was healthy,
They were going to trade him off.
It was going to.
Yeah,
was,
they were going to another second apron.
Maybe you get Horford back, though, because Tatum returing and the East being wide open, he's like, all right, that's at least a place worth.
I completely agree with that because that's when Horford's tune changed. It was kind of right after the Tatum injury, right when they were the eliminated. That's when it's like, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to come back for another year. Like, we'll see. And it seems like he is, and it seems like it's Golden State's the answer. So
interesting.
Maybe if Tatum was healthy, there'd be more of an incentive for guys like Horford and Cornette. I thought Cornette, too. He's turning 30 this summer.
Gotcha.
Hasn't made a ton of money in the NBA.
He got his money
so
now.
So he goes out and gets paid. Like, I think that was inevitable, but you probably would have had Horford,
All right, that's Justin Turpin. He's in for a Pure Hoops Hour on Jones and Keefe. No Jones today. A lot of lists have been coming out, best since 2000, the all-quarter century stuff. Turp and I are going to come up with our all-NBA quarter-century teams. That's right. Two backcourt, three frontcourt for a first, second, and third team. Stats from the 2000 season on. None of the 90s stuff. Doesn't count if they were good in the 90s. So we will give you those lists coming up next. But right now here is Billy Lanning with What's Trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The National League defeated the American League 7-6 after the first ever extra innings home run swing-off. Philadelphia Phillies outfielder Kyle Schwarber was named All-Star MVP after hitting three home runs in the swing-off. This is the NL's second All-Star win in the last 3 years. Sox closer Aroldis Chapman pitched in the bottom of the ninth. Chapman gave up no hits and struck out one. The Red Sox will return to action on Friday night. The Sox will be in Chicago taking on the Cubs in a three-game series. Last night at a sold-out TD Garden, the Indiana Fever defeated the Connecticut Sun 85-77. Caitlin Clark scored 14 points for the Fever before exiting the game late in the fourth quarter with a groin injury. Clark has missed 5 games earlier in the season with another groin injury. And tonight, the New England Revolution will be in New York taking on the Red Bulls. Kickoff is at 7:30. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Billy Lanning. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
WEEI.
WEEI. New England Sports Original.